Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the powerfully prophetic book of Daniel. Follow along as Pastor Steve shows us the stunning precision of God's prophecies. At the same time, we'll see how God equipped and protected Daniel to walk in integrity and power while living in the midst of the most powerful and enticing culture the world had ever seen. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
If you can't receive Jesus Christ now in the peaceful atmosphere of 350 South Rock Boulevard, with the Holy Spirit poured out on the planet, knocking on the door of your heart. If you can't receive the Lord now, what makes you think you're going to receive the Lord then? Telling those who dwell on the earth, make an image of the beast. Here comes the statue. Who was wounded by the sword but lived, verse 15. And he was granted power to give breath to the image. This isn't going to be an inanimate object like Zeus when Antiochus put his likeness there. This is going to be a breathing, apparently living statue. Czech Mister believes it's going to be a hologram. I don't know. We'll see. And that image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as who would not worship the image to be killed. He causes, what's your next word? All, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Don't take the mark. You watching on video, if somehow this video has made it to you, and millions have disappeared, and there is compelling things happening on the earth, and you're watching it on your iPhone, or on your computer, or on television, trying to explain where all of the Christians went. Maybe it's an alien who lands on the White House lawn and shakes hands with the Antichrist. I don't know. Verse 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. And here is wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, not your keychain or license plate, or you won't stay in the hotel on the sixth floor, you know, with room 666. I'm not going to do that. That doesn't matter. That doesn't have any power. It's a coincidence. This is going to be the number of a man, and that number is 666. Six is the number of man. What day was man created on? Sixth day. And the number three is redemption. Six, number of man, three times, man redeems. That's the blasphemy, you see. Only the Greeks and only the Hebrew alphabet have what's called gematria. A through Z, or Alpha through Omega, or in Hebrew, Aleph and Tau. Every letter has a corresponding numerical equivalent. So John Smith, if you write your name in Greek, you can add up the numeric equivalence of those letters, and you can come up with a sum at the end of the sentence. That's probably what it means. Now that we know, when you see the abomination of desolation, when the Antichrist, through the power of the false prophet, has put a speaking, breathing, it would seem, seeing statue, just like Antiochus the Fourth did, get out of Dodge. This is the midpoint of the Great Tribulation. The Antichrist, the human, has been mortally wounded. We saw that. Revelation 13, Zechariah 11, verse 17. A counterfeit resurrection, along with the false prophet's miracles, everybody is worshiping the Antichrist. In Revelation 12, verse 9, don't forget, Lucifer and the demons, they've been cast out of heaven at this time. A lot of people think that the devil lives in hell. No, that's a Greek understanding of Hades. The Bible says that the fallen angel Lucifer is usually where? He's on Audi Boulevard in Sparks. You ever try to make that light there? The Bible tells us where he spends most of his time, in heaven. And what is he doing there? He's accusing you. He has access to heaven, does Lucifer, and some angels. But in Revelation 12, verse 9, he's thrown out of heaven. He's given a key to the abuso. Some demons that are so nasty, God locked them away in Noah's time. Some of those awful demons who've been incarcerated since Genesis 6, they're going to be let out. And the Bible says it's like a smoke that comes out. It's not a real smoke. Have you ever seen the swallows come back to San Juan Capistrano? Or have you ever seen the bats at dusk flying out of their bat cave? It looks like a what? Like a cloud. Those are going to be awful, awful, awful demons. They're let out of the abuso. Lucifer and all the fallen angels are tossed out of heaven. Where are they abiding? On the surface of the earth. Woe to the humans. It is so bad that for 5 months, some humans are saying, I can't take this anymore. And they try to kill themselves. But they don't die. What? Blam! I'm still here, minus the top of my head. How grotesque is that? For 5 months, they try to kill themselves and cannot. They'll maybe toss themselves off of tall buildings, smash and break every bone in their body, but will not die. How is that even possible? Beloved, when the spirit of a man or woman is removed from the body, whose job is that? That's the Lord's. Jesus said, when they kill me, I'm the one who lays down my life. They don't take it from me. And then Jesus, as you know, then resurrected. For the space of 5 months in the last portion of the book of Revelation, dead bodies, perhaps rotting and putrefying, are still alive with the spirit still inside of them. Have you ever wondered why the fascination of zombies? Have you noticed the glut on social media and on the television? Zombie apocalypse this and zombie that. The walking zombies, the walking dead, a.k.a. the Raiders. They've not been playing well. They've not been playing well. I'm not going to candy coat it. Why the sudden fascination with zombies? Is it the devil trying to desensitize the population? I don't know. We'll see. So then all the demons are relegated to the surface of the earth. The devil knows now he only has 1,260 days before Jesus is going to return in Revelation 19. 42 months. A time, times, and half a time. The devil's kingdom through the humans, that's all crumbling. And I've often wondered, well, if it's the devil's kingdom, why is it coming against him? Because that's what happens with rebels. Is Lucifer a rebel? Yes, and he has fallen demons under him. If they'll do it with you, they'll do it. And even the demonic realm will have its subgroups that will break away from Lucifer. And all of those people and all of those countries and nations influenced by those rebel demons and Lucifer soon find themselves in the valley of Megiddo. And the Bible says that at that battle, that the battle will be so horrific from Megiddo to Bozra or Petra. It's about 180 miles. That the blood spatters up to the horse's bridle for 180 miles. Because all of the rebellious kingdoms have had it up to here and they're going to turn all of their weaponry on each other. And that's why Jesus said, unless I jumped in and stopped that, there would be no flesh left on the earth. Back to Matthew, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who have nursing babies in those days, I guess so, and pray that your flight does not be in winter or on the... Does any other culture care about the Sabbath aside from the Jews? This is speaking to the Jews. Another uniquely Jewish reference. Not the church. Verse 21. For then there will be great tribulation such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless these days are shortened, no flesh would be saved. That's a technology statement for you scientifically minded. It wasn't until the dawn of 1945, Los Alamos Desert, when we sparked off the first nuclear explosion, that this was possible. Was it possible to destroy the entire earth with bows and arrows? Does the book of Revelation and does Jesus know about thermonuclear exchanges? Talked about right here. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Please take a note if you're taking notes. Number one, yes, the Bible does speak of the church as the elect. Colossians 3, verse 12. And the elect is also referred to Jerusalem and Israel. Isaiah 45, verse 4. Isaiah 65, verse 9. And in the New Testament, Paul says in Romans 11, verse 28. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect. Please understand that this section in the book of Matthew is speaking of Israel and likely the tribulation saints, not the church. Remember, the abomination of desolation is a uniquely Jewish reference to a figure, Antiochus the Fourth. Verse 23. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Christ, or there, don't believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive. We saw that in Revelation 13. If possible, even the elect. Not a reference to the church. A reference to Israel and the tribulation saints. Verse 25. Therefore, if they say to you, look, he's in the desert. Look, he's in the inner rooms. If you are from a Jehovah's Witness past, you know that Jehovah's Witnesses declared Jesus would return at the turn of the 1800s into the 1900s, and finally, after their third swing and a miss, I mean, they took out full-page ads and everything. They finally said, well, he did return. Oh, yeah? Where? He's hiding where we have him. That would be an inner room, and of course it would not be correct. Verse 27, for as the lightning comes from the east and flashes to the west, that's how the coming of the Son of Man will be. It's Revelation 19. Verse 28, where the carcass is, there the eagles, unfortunate translation, that should really be vultures, will gather together. This is a reference to the Battle of Armageddon. As I said, Revelation 14, verse 20 says that from Megiddo to Bosra, 180 miles, the blood spatters to the bridles of the horses. Verse 29, and immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, signs in the heaven. Is this referring to solar eclipses and lunar eclipses? Probably. The stars will fall from heaven. Those aren't literal stars. These might be bolides or meteorites. And the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, Revelation 19, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. They will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. No, I'm not messing with you. Great glory, pastor of Harvest. When Raul Ruiz, who's Hispanic by background, who speaks a unique dialect called Spanglish, when you see the word, the clouds in heaven, and power, and great glory. Let's keep moving, shall we? Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. Could this be Rosh Hashanah? Could be. And they will gather together his elect, not the church. Israel and the tribulation saints who have survived from the four winds from one end of the heavens to the other. This might be a reference to the Feast of Trumpets. This is particularly interesting to me. Was the rapture of the church on Rosh Hashanah? Could be. But what if it was? What if 7 years in front, when all the Christians disappeared, when they were gathered together, a unique people, will that be a model for Israel at the end of the tribulation? Food for thought. Also, too, the Bible says 1260 days from the abomination of desolation until the Antichrist and false prophet are judged. It's a given time. But in Daniel chapter 12, we saw something interesting. That even though 1260 days transpires, the Lord Jesus who returns to the planet, Revelation 19, he doesn't take the statue down for another 30 days. Why? We don't really know. And then 45 days after that, that's when the millennial reign literally then begins. The human administrators will be Israel, just like God promised and prophesied they always will be. And you and I will be there with our new bodies, and we are ruling and reigning with him as we are scattered throughout the earth for the next 1,000 years. Why does he wait 30 days and then 45 days? Most people believe that's when the judging of the surviving nations happens that we'll read about in Matthew 25, verse 32. Now learn this parable of the fig tree. Who is that, everybody? That is Israel. And there's many verses for that. When its branch has already become tender and it puts forth its leaves. That's a reference to May 14th, 1948. When did Israel become a nation again? On that day. In one day, just like Isaiah prophesied it would. Thank you to the United Nations. When you see this happen, when Israel becomes a nation again, then you know that summer is near. So also, when you see all these things, know that it is near. What? He's answering the questions. When will the temple be destroyed? What will be the sign of your return and of the end of the age? Here is their answer. And finally, verse 34, and here's our most important verse of this morning. Jesus says, perhaps drawing a breath, taking a bit of a quick little break in his teaching, he says, now boys, lean in. This is important. Because truly, truly, assuredly I say to you, that this generation, what generation? That sees the budding of the fig tree. And if that's a reference to May 14th, 1948, that this generation will by no means pass away until all of these things take place. That's the entire book of Revelation. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. As simply stated as I can make it, by the time Jesus returns to earth, Revelation 19, and begins his earthly rule, with his human administrators, Israel, with his new-bodied believers, us, when that happens, there will be humans who were alive in 1948. Let's all stand together. By the time Jesus comes back with us on the horses and touches down on the Mount of Olives, there will be humans alive who were alive in 1948. because that generation will not pass away. Well, how long is a generation? I'm glad you asked. I don't know. But the Bible does say in two locations that the generation of a man is 70 years, 80 if he's in good health. You guys, last May 14th, Israel celebrated her 69th birthday, which means she is living in her 70th year.
I'm just saying.
Let's pray. Lord, I know that there are some who grow uncomfortable when we talk about these things. Lord, I know that there are some that say, Pastor Steve, can't you tell us some other cool stuff about the Bible other than this? Antichrist and false prophet and judgments, angels and all. I don't like that. It makes me uneasy. If that's you, I think it might, because you haven't fully embraced and really understood the character of this Jesus whom you worship so passionately. What do you mean? Yes, he is a loving God. He most certainly is. And his mercies are new every morning. And he is the Lord God, which means he is pure, which means he is just. And a pure God cannot dwell with impurity. And a just God has to judge sin. Yes, he's the beautiful Messiah. And by all means, fall on the rock, please. But if you don't, the rock is going to fall on you. How could a loving God do that? Don't forget, before the book of Revelation came the four books of the Gospels. Jesus Christ is God who zipped up a human suit. And he has done everything he knows how to do to make sure you stay out of hell. But if you choose to reject his witness and shove aside his body on the cross, or his resurrected new body that blew out from the tomb, that beautiful resurrection morn, then what else can he do for you? Do you know, non-believer, that there are people praying for you? No, there's not. Oh, yes, there are. And they are praying that you someday soon would see the light. And Harvest, don't forget that the full gospel is, yes, Jesus died for sin and loves you just like you are, and too much to let you stay this way, is also the gospel that there is a very real judgment coming. The full gospel is God's love and resurrection and God's wrath. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ and you truly believe, you've got to be worshiping the correct Jesus. When we see him in heaven, our first inclination is not to run and jump in daddy's lap. If the men who have seen him are any indication, the first nanosecond we arrive in heaven and we see Jesus Christ glorified, our first response is not to slap him a high five. What's going on, bro? Our first inclination and overpowering impulse will be to dive to our face. He is holy. He's the God who created the heavens and the earth. That's Harvest, why we talk about the full gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, Amen.
You've been listening to the powerfully prophetic Book of Daniel with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Daniel continues to show us that because God so obviously knows and guides the future of nations, he certainly knows and guides our future as well. What a great comfort that we may not know what the future holds, but Daniel shows us who does hold the future, If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.